Good morning. It's good to see all of you here, and praise the Lord for another beautiful day and health and strength, and that we can be together. If you have your Bibles, let's open to Psalms 42. I'd like to read a little bit from Psalms 42. Are you panting this morning? Sometimes the deer pant for water. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When I shall come and appear before God, my tears have been my food day and night. We have come to church this morning to appear before God. And maybe we came crying and seeking. Maybe we came questioning. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? And our culture is certainly challenging us that there is no God, or that God is dead, or that God's immaterial. These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving and a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? And I think many of us are despairing and disturbed because we have some difficult things to talk about today. And we've been praying about some tough things, some decisions that have to be looked at, things that have to be talked about. Verse, why are you in despair, O my soul? Where and why have you become disturbed? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from the Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of thy waterfalls. All thy breakers and all thy waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a scattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? And why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, and the help of my countenance and my God. Do you talk to yourself a lot? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I give myself a real talking to. We all reflect sometimes on the things that we've said or done. And sometimes life makes us talk to ourselves. And sometimes we ask lots of questions. And we want to know why. And no, I don't want to do that. And no, I don't even want to talk about that. And I don't want to think about that. We have avoidance problems. I do. So my talk this morning was going to go over a couple different topics. So bear with me a little bit. I think back to last Sunday, and we read responsively from Psalm 103. And you can turn to Psalm 103 in your Bibles if you would. I'm going to read a few of those verses again this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Wow. I think the psalmist is talking to himself. He's giving himself a real talking to. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You got to get up and bless the Lord, even if you're in trouble, even if you're having a hard time, even when the times get tough and the culture goes crazy and COVID hits or a death comes or you got to face a change, maybe a church closing, maybe COVID, maybe an illness. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do it. Talk to yourself. List. Forget none of his benefits. I like fringe benefits. Your job has some fringe benefits. Belonging to God has fringe benefits. Isn't that great? List them. That's what he's saying. Listen, I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe in God the Father, and I've got to list his benefits so I don't get too depressed, even in the midst of change. Change that I don't want. Change that you don't want. We're all getting older. Even I think Catherine's getting older day by day, all right? And sometimes change, especially as we get older and older, it gets really tough. I don't like to change anymore. I don't want the culture to change. I don't want the food to change. And I'm not going to talk about my wife, okay? But changes. We have changes that come to our lives. We change our job. Our jobs have benefits. I'm going to buy this house. I have certain benefits if I buy this house. I'm going to move to Florida. I'll have benefits if I move to Florida. It'll be better, less taxes or something. What are the benefits? What are the benefits of following Jesus? What are the benefits of submitting to God? What are the benefits of following his plan? They're fantastic benefits. Even if we can't see the end result, because God calls all of us to walk in faith. And boy, I like to know where I'm planting my feet. I don't like to walk blind. But in Christ and in God, Abraham, a man of faith. So verses 3 and 4, what are the benefits of following God? He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You get some of your youthful energy back and optimism back. Because you get older, you kind of get more pessimistic. I don't like to be around pessimistic people, but sometimes I'm that person and I'm too pessimistic. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. The Lord is a righteous judge. Sometimes we complain that he allowed the innocent to die or to suffer. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. But in verse 9, it says, he will not always strive with us. He will not keep his anger forever. There's an end to his mercy and love. His love is never ending. But if we keep spitting in his face, if we keep legalizing sin, at some point he says, enough is enough. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He's not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, and so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, and as far as he has removed our, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame, and he knows that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. And as we get old, we start to unflourish. And we die. And we get sick. And we become frail. And our houses become that way. And our churches become that way. And endings occur. When the wind has passed over, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Mighty in strength are you angels who perform his word and obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts who serve him doing his will. Bless the Lord, verse 22, all you works of his in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What does the phrase mean, O my soul? In Psalm 42, my soul is downcast, my soul is distressed. Sometimes we feel distressed, we feel anxious, we feel discouraged. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself, he's exhorting himself, he's challenging himself to list the benefits of following God. Do you talk to your soul? Do you talk to your inner self? Your inner being? You talk to your heart? I've got to have a heart change. I got to slap my heart around a little bit because I'm too pessimistic. I'm too discouraged. I've got to list his benefits. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me, even when he says it's time. It's time to downsize. It's time to sell this property. It's time to do whatever. But I don't like change. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 105:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. We all know Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord. We have to continually remind ourselves as we walk with God to list his benefits and to bless the Lord in good days and in bad days, in days of expansion and days of growth and in days of decline. He's still in charge. It just hurts us. We despair. That is natural. In Genesis 18:14, God sent some angels to talk to Abraham and Sarah, and the angels promised that you're going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed. And the angel, God, maybe Jesus himself, is anything too difficult for God, for the Lord? Genesis 18:14. And we have to ask ourselves, is anything too difficult for our God? No. But we don't have the faith that needed sometimes, and we doubt. Sarah laughed. I can't get pregnant at 90. If you look at that phrase in verse, I think it's 15, it literally says, I think in the King James as well as in the version that I've read, that I shall have pleasure in my old age. Sexual pleasure, get pregnant. And my husband is way too old. You're foolish if you're telling me I'm going to have a child. You're foolish if you're telling me I'm going to feel young like an eagle and soar like an eagle and have the power and the grace. And then in verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And this passage goes in a totally different direction. Faith to believe and trust in God when there's no way you're going to get pregnant at the age of 90. It's just not going to happen, boys and girls, right? But in verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram what I'm about to do? And then where do we go from here? And with Dr. David Jeremiah, that book that we're studying about the end times, God reveals in Daniel and Revelation what the end times are going to be like. And he revealed to Abraham what's going to happen with Sodom and Gomorrah. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? God likes to tell his children what he's going to do. I'm a just God, I'm a holy God, I'm a righteous God, but I'm a God of judgment too. And sometimes God's patience, enough is enough. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not good news. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that I got to sell my house, that I got to, the church has got to close down, or I got to move to another state. I like living here. I don't want bad news. God sometimes reveals to us the future if we do not live in his covenant and commandments. We need the truth, and God tells us the truth in his word. But we ignore it. We avoid it. So did God bless you this past week? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, man, he blessed my wife and I tremendously last Monday. We had a fantastic time with a lot of you people at our house. And I just could not imagine how the day could have been any better. The temperature was right. The wind was just right. It was just warm enough. And we had all these kids running around. And nobody got hurt. I mean, that's just about unbelievable. And then some of us older folks took this terrible hike and nobody fell over. And Darwin came and rescued a lot of us. And we were blessed. I actually cried the next morning, thanking God for such a beautiful day. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But that Tuesday afternoon, I was right down there in the pits. I did a very stupid thing. I put regular gas in my diesel tractor, and I drove it out of the barn. And now I got despair and discouragement, and I was up here, and I'm down here. But the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, even when things get messed up, even when you people make mistakes, even when we've committed sins, he'll still forgive us. We may have to pay for our sin. We reap what we sow. That's true also in the Bible. And we should preach that from time to time. What does God say about benefits? Well, verse 2, the benefits of following Jesus. List the benefits to stay positive, to stay confident, and to stay strong in your faith. In John 10:10, do you know what John 10:10 says? You can open your Bibles if you want to John 10:10. It's one of the verses that I memorized a long time ago. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus in John 10:10 is talking about the thief. Who's the thief?
Satan.
We got to preach Satan once in a while. We got to preach evil once in a while. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Well, within the last week, the thief broke in. Did you hear about it? The devil was working last week. He was working at MCUSA, and he got in, and he turned the vote. On May 29th, at the MCUSA convention, they passed a resolution for repentance and transformation. Not a good one. It committed, the resolution committed the people there, we are sorry for committing violence against the LGBTQ people. So they admitted in this resolution that we have hurt and harmed the gay population in America and in the Mennonite church. So they confessed to hurting them. A second part of the resolution says, we agree in the future to include the LGBTQ people in our church as full members. You can be married to another person of the same sex, full rights, voting rights, full membership, full acceptance, and we're never going to shame you people again and call your lifestyle a sin. I think the devil won that battle on the 29th of May. That's pretty sad. Another vote in that same resolution allows pastors in the denomination to perform same-sex marriages. So, as I interpret that based on my Bible, that's unbiblical. That's terrible. The last part of the resolution, they decided to keep the confession of faith that still says marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, that contradicts with the first three parts of the resolution. How smart is man? How deceived is man? How deceived is my own denomination at the national level? We are no longer part of MCUSA. We withdrew a few years ago, and we are now members of Element Lancaster Mennonite Conference. But my heart broke, and I was in despair, and I was suffering when I heard and read what they did at this conference. And our colleges, Mennonite colleges, are, I guess, contaminated with this thinking. So the National Mennonite denomination has voted for sin. They voted to legalize sin in the church. They have sanctioned sin. It's now openly practiced in MCUSA. The month of June in America today is Gay Pride Month. I'm sick. I'm discouraged. I don't like to see these changes. Many different denominations have had the same issue. They've wrestled with the same thing, and they've given in various ways. They believe that the Bible teaches inclusion. We've got to include everybody. It's a big tent. Let anybody in. Full membership. I guess the commandments are gone. The standards of the Bible are gone. Morality's gone. This is part of what of progressive Christianity. It's part of their philosophy, their thinking. The thief has come in. People are being deceived in our country, in various denominations. How did we get off so far off base? How did our country get so far off base? How did the Christian church get so far off base? We have drifted. We have a virus growing within the Christian church. Christians don't get along with Christians because we can't agree on what the Bible says and preaches and teaches. We are in the last days. From what I'm reading from Dr. David Jeremiah, from what I read in Daniel, and it's getting worse almost by the month. The Ten Commandments, I think there's only one left, thou shalt not kill. We still have that law on the books in America, except for the fetus. We can kill the fetus. That's not life. Maybe our problem with gun control, well, it just legalized killing. We've legalized all the other commandments. We've negated all the other commandments. This is the culture we're living in. This is what our children and our grandchildren have to grow up in. Jesus showed love to the woman caught in adultery. According to the law, she was to be stoned. And Jesus got down and wrote in the sand. And he said to the people, well, okay, you without sin, throw the first stone. And later he got up and they were all gone. And he said to the woman, where are those that wanted to condemn you? And Jesus said, I'm not going to condemn you either. Because my mission here for 3 years is to save life and to encourage people to come to me. Okay? I'm not going to throw a stone at you. But he said, go and sin no more. Can you imagine that? Jesus had the nerve to say, what you're doing is sinful. Now, prostitution is legal in a lot of our states. Illicit sex is accepted in American society. Well, prostitution's no problem. But Jesus had the nerve to say, go and sin no more. Pretty soon in America, pastors will not be able to say that. I may not be able to read that from the Bible. That premarital sex or sex outside of marriage or is wrong morally. It's a sin. Go and sin no more. Will probably be declared hate speech. You cannot declare me a sinner. You have no right to hurt my self-image. You should not teach or preach that old morality. The Bible is way too repressive. It limits my lifestyle. It makes me feel guilty, uneasy. You're hurting me psychologically. You can't tell me I'm a sinner. I'm going to change gears for a couple minutes. You like baseball? Baseball, America's pastime, right? Been very popular for a long time. Baseball's dying. You like churches? Churches are dying. The devil is running rampant in our culture. Similarities between baseball and churches. Both have lost touch with the past. Both have lost touch with ordinary people. Both too often view the people in the seats as sources of revenue. Both tend not to treat the people as valued partners. Both seem to have betrayed the people's trust, leading them astray, frustrating them. Baseball had a 99-day lockout earlier this spring. They wanted more money. Churches had a tough time with COVID. We closed the churches down. Churches have a hard time reaching young people who are looking for something to believe in. The church is lacking a compelling vision. The church is arguing over beliefs. It's arguing over doctrines. It's arguing over practices. I'm not going to go to church. Churches are having a hard time. Baseball's having a hard time. The United Methodist Church in 1970 had 10.5 million participants. By 2019, what's that, 50 years later, they're down to 6.4 million. In 2021, less than 50% of Americans belong to a house of worship. Most of the people out there, 50% of them don't even go to a church, join a church, connected to a church. 29% of Americans are nones. N-O-N-E-S, nones, have no religious identity. You ask them on the street, no, I don't know what God is. 25% of us go to church weekly. Only 25%. 75% of us are golfing, camping, sleeping in. The major denominations in America, the United Methodists, the Lutherans, the Southern Baptists, the Presbyterians, have lost millions of followers. Baseball had 80 million followers in 2007. 2019, 65 million followers. 2021, 45 million followers. We're living in a time of change. Our culture's changing. What we do for recreation is changing, and what we once did for church or religion or belief has changed drastically. I want to read yet quickly something that Franklin Graham put out, part of Decision Magazine from, I think it's May of 2022. The eternal peril of progressive Christianity. For decades, a war has been raging against biblical Christianity. This thing didn't come about overnight. It's been, I think, in the Mennonite denomination for 40 years, and maybe in the Methodists and some of the other churches, I don't know. So there's been a war going on, and most of us have not even been aware of it. It has cropped up in the halls of seminaries. I should put my glasses on. infiltrated the pulpits of thousands of churches, and been propagated by a godless liberal media. It is bent on casting doubt and undermining the foundational principles of God's word. Many of the Apostle Paul's letters were written to churches that were experiencing serious doctrinal errors. One of Paul's sternest letters was penned to the church in Galatia, which is part of modern-day Turkey. In that letter, Paul launched a stern rebuke for teaching that had polluted the Galatian church. So I guess there's going to be some polluted teaching in MCUSA churches. Deceiving more. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. That's a quote from Galatians. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Quote, unquote, from the book of Galatians. We have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, NIV translation. In the case of the Galatians, Paul was specifically addressing their attempt to return to the demands of the law rather than continuing to live by grace through faith in the sacrificial, atoning work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Such an attempt wasn't just a really bad idea. It actually would result in living under God's curse, not his favor, living under the law again. I would say the exact same warning applies today to the advocates of progressive Christianity. They deceitfully promote and proclaim what I believe is clearly a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Let me say that again. Progressive Christianity is not a gospel at all. It has nothing to do with the gospel of Christ's death, burial, resurrection. It results in nothing but spiritual confusion and chaos. Here's the problem. Number one, progressive Christianity denies the divinely inspired, authoritative truth of the Bible as it intersects every facet of living. For example, although the scripture clearly says that marriage is between a man, one man and one woman, proponents of progressive Christianity twist and distort the truth of God's word on sexuality, focusing on such nonsensical trends as gender identity. They deny God's distinction of the sexes and instead invent their own misguided standards, unguided by the word of God. The degrading cultural influences that embrace such movements as gay marriage have more sway on their beliefs than the Bible does. That's the time we're living in. When the topic of justice, number two, is discussed, progressive Christianity is primarily concerned with issues of social and racial justice, which the Bible does address, but most often they neglect the far more fundamental issue of God's justice, that God is just, that he's not nasty, that there's a reason that often the innocent die with the guilty. And that's what the argument was between God and Abraham. Well, Abraham said, if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, you won't destroy the city. Well, if there's 40, you've got to save the city. If there's 30, you've got to save the city. You can't kill 30 innocent people. 30 of them are not gay. And they went down to, I think, 10. But God said, I had enough. My justice and my wrath and my righteousness. Sin has consequences. How a holy and just God deals with sinful and wicked men. And when it comes to a matter of personal sin, progressive Christianity most frequently fails to see the ruinous consequences of mankind's depraved, sinful state. Biblical teaching on the precious blood of Christ, the sacrificial substitutionary atoning work of Christ's death on the cross is often neglected or distorted. So the real ultimate danger is that progressive Christianity can send a person to hell. I know that sounds harsh, but it's true. To reject the deed of Christ is to deny Christ and doom yourself to an eternity spent in hell. To love darkness more than light will end in an eternity in hell. To hope that good works alone will earn salvation while rejecting the gift of everlasting life through faith in Christ alone will lead straight into the eternal abyss. To deny the fullness of the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, can risk a person spending the rest of eternity separated from the glory and splendor of God Almighty. Do you see how anything other than Orthodox biblical Christianity can be so dangerous and deadly? That's why Paul the Apostle called down a curse on those who preached a different gospel than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how Paul precisely defined the gospel. Quote, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. We are all sinners, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. This is the only saving gospel. Preachers must faithfully proclaim it from the pulpit if they want their congregations to be convicted of their sin, to trust solely in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. Praise and worship have their place in the church, but there is no substitute for pastors preaching the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. Pastors today must preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think we're pretty close to that time. And it's also just about 11 o'clock. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Keep talking to yourself. Keep asking and reciting all the blessings that you have in Jesus Christ. Hold on to his word. There are many voices out there. We're going to be challenged and probably persecuted as we continue on in him in the next years, decades. I don't know how long it's going to last. It is discouraging. But Jesus is worth it. God is worth it. A life of faithfulness is worth it. Lots of good fringe benefits. Read again Psalm 103. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord help us as we struggle with some things that we don't want to talk about. That I just as soon leave. I just as soon not talk about this. But we have to talk about things. I have trouble sometimes visiting people in the hospital that are dying. It's hard to say goodbye. Heaven knows I don't like to get rid of everything. My house is full of junk. I guess Trey got rid of a lot of stuff. But man, I got to start cleaning house too. I got to get ready for the end. We got to get ready for the future. We got to be realistic, but we got to also know how to discern the will of God for us in our time. The Lord bless and keep you. Thank you.